1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. Baseball season is here, and to celebrate, we have Kevin Mulder, Murray State baseball coach. The Racers taking 2 of 3 this weekend, tying a couple of program records on Saturday with an unbelievable offensive breakout, including a 4-homer day by one of their players. And we're going to talk with Kevin Mulder about that. Also, Friday night's first pitch dinner and sort of the status of the program right now. And if you've been to Reagan Field recently, you've noticed significant improvements with the press box, the stands. You can actually sit down somewhere. I like that. And the lights, it's quite a transformation from what we saw in just a decade ago. Very nice, and even more coming, as we'll find with Coach Mulder in just a bit. But before we get to the coach, we're going to get you caught up with everything going on. As it turned out, it was a really good weekend for Murray State as the baseball team. Yeah, they lost yesterday 9-3, but they took 2 of 3 from Eastern Illinois, including tying program records with 31 runs and 28 hits on Saturday, and 4 home runs on Saturday from Tyler Dixon. He even hit one yesterday, and he went into the weekend with 0 home runs. That's riding a hot streak. We'll talk with Coach Mulder about him. Ryan Dills really didn't pitch badly. He gave up 4 runs over 7 innings, 7 hits over those innings, and had a career-high 10 strikeouts. So it's a really young team, and sometimes the youth does show up with some of the woes pitching-wise, but it's a team that is really on the right track. And Murray State will now have a really busy week. And this is a crucial week. They play their regional rival, Southern Illinois, on Wednesday night. That is their big rival when it comes to out of conference in the region. And then this weekend, it's at Jacksonville State. There are 2 unbeaten teams in league play. Jacksonville State is one of them. The other is SEMO. This is on the road, so quite a challenge for this Racer team. And boy, it'd be amazing to go in there and take the series against Jacksonville State. Murray State softball also with a good weekend. They kicked it off with a doubleheader sweep of Eastern Illinois. They were going for the series sweep yesterday. Didn't get that done, losing 2-0, but still a significant day as Shelby Miller picked up her 200th career hit. She's now 2nd all-time in program history behind former Racer Mo Ramsey. She's the all-time hits leader with 227. Mason Robinson wasn't bad at all. Gave up 2 runs on 5 hits, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks, but tough to win with 0 run support, but she gave her team a chance. They just didn't do it. 14-18 on the season for Murray's softball team. They're 4-6 in OVC play. They return to action Wednesday. This is a really tough out-of-conference doubleheader when they host Western Kentucky at 4:30 p.m. Murray State's, by the way, Kara Amundson, we were going to have her on earlier in the week. She has a bit of laryngitis. We're going to let her get well, and we hope to have her on Thursday to talk about softball and their upcoming weekend. I believe they're on the road at Tennessee State. Murray State's Moa Folk, 3-day total, 214, brought home a 2nd-place finish at the Rebel Intercollegiate at the Ole Miss Country Club in Oxford. It looked like she was going to win it, but Troy's Fatima Cano, a 6-under-par 66 to take medalist honors with a 209. That is very difficult to beat. Troy ended up winning the team title with an 871. Murray State finished 8th with a 911. And the Racers back home this Friday and Saturday when they host the Jan Weaver Invitational at Miller Memorial. Murray High's Corey Dickerson has signed a letter of intent to play football with Lindsey Wilson College in Columbia, Kentucky, a 3-year starter on defense. The defensive lineman also played guard on offense the past 2 seasons. During Dickerson's senior year, 103 tackles, 15 of those tackles for loss, 6 fumble recoveries, 7 caused fumbles, 4 defensive touchdowns. Lindsey Wilson coming off a 10-3 record in 2015. Some other Murray State news. The women's track and field team had a big day in 2 different venues Friday. They broke a record in St. Louis and also hosted the Margaret Simmons Invitational at Stewart Stadium. at Washington University in St. Louis. Murray State's Valerie Corr broke the old school record for the 10,000 meters with a time of 35.08. The record was set in 1985 of 36.30 by Teresa Colby. 31-year-old record falls. Among the highlights of the Racers' home meet included Taylor Adcock boasting a win in the 400-meter hurdles, and MSU's 4x400-meter relay teams finished first and second. Racers back in action this weekend at the Western Kentucky Relays beginning Friday in Bowling Green. Now, after the meet was done, they had some fun hosting a junior competition. It's called the Fastest Kid in Murray. I like this. And it featured a mixed 100-meter dash and a mile run. Layla Hudspeth won the 100-meter event with a time of 18.98, and Darby Futrell won the mile run with a time of 7.07. In tennis, Murray State's men's tennis team in action against Tennessee yesterday in Knoxville. And in both matches, the Vols swept the Racers 5-0 in a short match format. Murray now 2-18 overall. Back in action at Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. The women's team fared better Saturday, sweeping Southeast Missouri 7-0. Murray improved to 8-8 overall, 3-3 in OVC play. The Racers also will have a midweek match against Austin Peay, then return home for their final matches of the season at Purcell Courts, facing Belmont Friday, Tennessee State on Saturday. Sort of a light high school schedule with spring break week, but Murray High is playing this week at the Cal Ripken Experience in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They'll play Boyd County today. I think Callaway County's in action this week as well, but we'll get you caught up with the teams as they play as the week goes on. Opening day of baseball season, the Cardinals in action yesterday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I felt good, able to watch my first actual game of the season. And it didn't turn out too well for the Cardinals.
With Rick Horton, I'm John Rooney, and yesterday in Pittsburgh, the Pirates packed the house. They scored two in the second, one in the sixth inning, one in the eighth on the way to a 4-1 victory. But Rick, it was missed opportunities for the Cardinals, who twice in the game left the bases loaded.
And too many strikeouts for the Cardinals, too. Overall, 15 strikeouts in the game. They couldn't come up with the big hit. They did score a run in the ninth inning against Mark Melancon to make things interesting, but Francisco Liriano was very, very tough in the early going.
And he was. The Cardinals will head back at it as they take on the Pirates tomorrow night. They get a night off. As I've been told, teams like to have that day off because you usually get a good opening day crowd. If you get rained out, that gives you another day to get that in so you don't lose the opening day gate. So good move on that. So no game tonight. Cardinals and Pirates will be back in action tomorrow night. All right. Kevin Mulder will be up. But before I do, as we do every baseball season, I like to start it off with one of the funniest segments that I've ever heard. I don't know why this gets me, but this is Harry Carey. Back when he did the Cubs TV games, they were in the booth. Marla Collins used to be the ball girl. She would retrieve the balls. Really good-looking young lady that roamed the sidelines for the Cubs. If you watched Cubs baseball back in the day, you may remember her. If not, just Google it a little bit. But Marla Collins, she was the ball girl when this happened, and right after this, Kevin Mulder will be my guest.
Hey, we see Marla Collins without sharks for the first time.
Boy, I hope we get the end of that story.
Slow roller, you might beat it out.
Nope. Good play.
Give
a score cue. They recognize her anywhere.
Well, sadly, Coach Mulder has to follow that, but I just always found that very humorous. Remember, you can hear Cardinal games this season on 1340 WNBS. As promised, Murray State baseball coach Kevin Mulder is my guest. Coach, a very interesting weekend for you. I want to talk about that, but I want to start things off with Friday night and the first pitch dinner with Coach Reagan. That was a special night honoring a special man, wasn't it?
Yeah, that you hit it there. That was a really neat evening, and to have Coach Reagan, a night for him, and had a lot of former players back, and you know, some guys that hadn't been back to campus in a really long time. Had Pat Jarvis you know, former big leaguer out to talk, Coach Mike Tiki, Steve Tucker, Scott Tucker also talked, and so it was a really neat evening. I know it was really special for those former players and Coach Reagan as well.
And it's amazing that what we saw there is the impact that a coach can have on players years, decades even later in their lives. And I think that was really brought out. Is that something you ever think about as a coach, that one of these days these guys may be talking about you and the impact you had on their lives?
Well, it certainly put things in perspective for me. It was interesting because there's a wide range of guys there, and you know, there was guys that are 70 years old there that played for Coach Reagan, and you know, to see they still have a great, you know, what regard they hold him in, and you know, the relationship they still have with him is, you know, a great lesson for a young coach to see in person.
Well, let's talk about the current Racer team, and it was a really good weekend. Anytime you can win a series in league play, that's good. 2 of 3 against Eastern Illinois, and Saturday tied the program records with 31 runs, 28 hits. I've heard of hitting contagious, but my goodness, that was an epidemic on Saturday. When did you realize this might be a really special day for you at the plate?
Well, we had 16 runs with only having 3 outs. Right about then is when I knew, and you know, that starting pitcher started the game. They beat Arkansas, so it's not as if they were throwing bad pitching at us. We just did a really good job of hitting that day, and you know, we certainly had some things go our way, but overall, we did a, you know, phenomenal job, obviously, of hitting that day.
Tell me about Tyler Dixon, a 4-home-run day. I mean, there are players who have careers without 4 home runs. Then he added another one on Sunday, yet he entered the series homerless. Tell me about Tyler Dixon.
You know, he's been in a platoon situation with another kid ever since Brandon Gutzler went down, and he was hitting .231 on Tuesday morning. And on Tuesday, he hit 4 doubles. On Wednesday versus Carbondale, he had a couple hits. And then this weekend happened, and now he's hitting around .390. So it's happened in a hurry. He got hot, and he's certainly making the most of this opportunity he's been given, and he'll certainly get some more opportunity to run with it.
Did you see any kind of sign that this was about to happen, or just hard work paid off for him?
I think it's a confidence deal. I mean, if you've ever seen us take batting practice, he can put on an absolute display, probably more so than anyone else on the team. He is an extremely strong physical player. He hits, you know, balls out onto the road on a routine basis during batting practice. And so you knew it was in there. It's not like this is some random occurrence. He's a really strong kid, and now that he's playing with a little confidence, I'm hoping we see quite a bit more of this. Not necessarily 4 home run games,
right,
but damage when they make a mistake type guy.
Earlier this season, you mentioned Brandon Gutzler. Earlier this season, he was a National Player of the Week honoree for his exploits, mainly against Northern Illinois, including one game where your team scored 29 runs. But you said you've lost him. What is the update on Brandon?
Brandon had surgery last week to repair his broken leg, and he's gonna have a long road to recovery. He's got a 4 to 6 month deal before he'll be back on the field, and so September thereabouts. So he should be back for fall ball. It was an unfortunate situation, and honestly, one of the more gruesome injuries I've ever seen on a baseball field. But you know, we'll. He'll grow from it and hopefully come back as good as ever next spring.
Coach, you have some amazing bats, especially in OVC play. Ramsey Scott, .426, and then Mr. Steady, Tyler Lawrence, hitting .400. That has to be a nightmare for opposing OVC pitchers to game plan for two guys hitting it like that.
Yeah, we have a really good middle of the lineup, and then Adam Bauer, who I feel is maybe our most consistent hitter, even you know, sitting right in front of those two with about a .500 on base percentage. So it's a tough it's a tough lineup to navigate, and even when you get beyond those guys, there it's not like we have outs towards the bottom of our lineup. We have good hitters, 300 hitters hitting down below those guys. So it's a very productive lineup.
That's something I'm sure was a focus because watching a few years ago, there was a lot of a small ball, and I don't see as much of that. I see guys who can really pound it, can hit home runs, can get extra base hits. Was that a priority when you arrived to up the offense like you have?
Yeah, well, just my personal philosophy, I wanted us to get more physical. I like to be able to have individuals be able to create offense. I ultimately think this game's about the players, and they win the games. And anytime you got a guy in the lineup that can change the game with one swing, whether that's a home run or a double, that's the kind of baseball I personally like to play. And and in the OVC, it's a hitter's league. There's no question about that. Most of the parks are hitter's parks. The funny thing is, Reagan Field is probably the best pitcher's park in the conference. Now on Saturday, it wasn't because the wind was blowing out extremely hard. But on most days, it's a fair park. And but in my opinion, you have to be able to hit to be competitive in this conference. And we made that a focus. Now, the next piece of it, and it certainly wasn't something we intentionally avoided or anything, but we have to get a little better on the mound, and I think we have some good help coming on the way in this next recruiting class.
And it's been consistent pitching that's been an issue. Some of the guys have been really good at times, but it's been the consistency factor. Well, what is the struggles mainly? Is it inexperience, youth? Exactly what do you see?
We do have an extremely young team just across the board. We're going to return most of our guys. Not that we don't have a senior or two that are very helpful for us, but you're right. It's consistency. We have some guys that are capable on the mound, and it's just being able to repeat that on a weekly basis.
Sure.
And there's been a multitude of reasons for it. Some guys haven't been completely healthy, and some guys just have been dealing with some confidence issues and are just kind of works in progress and may not be ready for the role that they're currently in. But when we had Brad Beagle, our top returning pitcher from last season, who's working his way back, and it kind of thrust guys up a notch in their role, and maybe some of them weren't possibly ready for that.
This week begins with Wednesday night's game against SIU. Always good to get one under the lights against a rival. And this is always an intriguing game when you get together with SIU. It was a close one last week, Coach.
Yeah, we got we lost an opportunity to win a game up there last week. We had a lead and gave up a couple after making an error. And then Mother Nature got us with a lightning delay followed by about 4 hours of straight rain. So we lost in 8 innings up there, and that's a big game for us. As far as midweek games go, SIU would rank at the top of the list of games we want to win, and we'll be ready for them on Wednesday night.
And you talk about a difficult weekend ahead. It is Jacksonville State. They have 3 sweeps along with SEMO, the 2 unbeaten teams in OVC play, and you play them at their place. Really nice facility, a long road trip. Tell me what challenge you have facing the Gamecocks this weekend.
Well, we got a sturdy challenge is what we got, because Jacksonville is one of the couple best teams in the league, certainly, and they're an experienced group. They're well coached, and it's a tough place to go win a ball game. And we're going to have to grow up and find a way to elevate our level of play. And we certainly need to have a solid weekend. We cannot get buried down there and expect to keep up in the OVC race.
This is one where getting a couple of wins would be great. And again, everyone likes a sweep, but winning the series would sure be a huge boost for your team, wouldn't it?
Yeah, obviously in baseball, you know, two out of three is what you shoot for.
Yeah.
And we'll that's our goal pretty much every week now. When you get to, you do need to find a way to get a sweep. And, you know, yesterday we let an opportunity pass by. And but those are going to be few and far between. Ultimately, it's about playing consistent baseball on a week-to-week basis. And if you can find a way to get two out of three on a weekend, you're going to be where you want to be towards the end of the year.
Kevin, state of the program as of right now, have you made the progress? I know you're not where you want to be, but have you made a significant progress, in your opinion, to this point?
Well, I think there's no question. You can feel the momentum in the program. And it, you know, honestly, it starts with the facility stuff that's gone on. And we have another project about to take place with our outfield wall padding project and batter's eye renovation. So there's been some good progress, physical progress. And then, you know, you look at how the guys are doing right now. We brought in a class of 21 guys, and we return almost the entire team next year. We start a freshman at shortstop, a sophomore at third, a sophomore at second. So anytime you have a really young infield, you're going to have some inconsistent play at times. And the best thing I can say about that is they'll all be a year older next year, and I think that'll pay off for us over the next couple of years.
And for any fans who turn out, you can tell these guys love playing the game, and it really shows up on the field, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, one thing you can say about us is we play extremely hard. You know, we might make you scratch your head on occasion, but they do play hard. They're learning, and we're getting better. I think this is a team that I feel very confident this is going to be a team that plays better at the end of the year than we did at the beginning of the year, and that's part of the youthfulness of it.
Kevin, I appreciate the visit. Fun to watch your team, and I can't wait to see them Wednesday night. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Appreciate it, Neil. Take care.
That is Murray State baseball coach Kevin Mulder. Thanks once again to the coach. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we have Josh Plinos, who usually joins me for Tuesday. We'll find out about his thoughts on the NCAA championship and the NBA winding down the regular season. And a special guest on Tuesday will be Mitch Stewart. We'll get a Racer football update, a lot to talk about with the spring football here. It's going to be done a bit differently. We'll talk about camps, find out more with Coach Stewart. That is coming up on the Tuesday edition of the Neil Bradley Show, exclusively at 1340WNBS.com.